Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, amen, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Appreciate that very much. Glad for that blessed assurance. God not only saved me one day and made me whole, not only does he keep me by his power, but he assures me of that from day to day, that everything is well with my soul. As I said, I certainly desire an interest in your prayers today. I want to be obedient to the Lord and do that he has asked of me and preach to you what he has burdened my heart with. So the title of my message today will be Going for the Gold. And I want to read some scripture from Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. And I also, after that, want to read some from the third chapter of the Galatian letter. But we'll begin with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and I want to read a few more verses beginning with verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's reading also there from Galatians 3, verses 8 through 14. And I said that I want to use this as a title, Going for the Gold. But what I really want to talk about here, and we'll get to that perhaps a little bit later on, but what I really want to talk to you about here in the beginning of this message is hope. True hope. What hope really does mean. What hope means according to the Word of God. Because, you know, hope is something that, like, just as it is with many things, as we've been reminded in our Sunday school lesson here today, hope is something, as many things have been, that is distorted by people today as to what it really means to have hope. And, you know, what many people think is hope, the Scriptures teach us what hope is, and what many people think hope is far different than what the Scriptures actually teach us. And so, to begin with, I want to talk about the definition of hope and what it means as we find in God's holy word. Hope, among most people today, the word hope, and I realize that you and I actually use it very loosely, and many times, no doubt, I use in everyday conversation, I use the word hope wrongfully, but hope to many people today is something that they're wishing for. And you hear the term used a lot of times, or the word used a lot of times in the context of, well, I hope that everything will turn out all right with your upcoming surgery or something like that, something that's going to be happening. And so it's used more in the way of a, wishful thinking, hoping that something does turn out the way that, or turn out to the best. But the hope that the Bible talks about and the hope that we have read about here this morning in Hebrews 6 is not something that's being wished for. It's something that's being expected, and it's being anticipated. And I want to read to you this definition. The word hope is derived from the Greek word elpis. And what it means is to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And it means to have expectation or confidence. And so I want you to remember that to have hope is to anticipate, to expect, and to have confidence. And I want to go back to what we read here in Hebrews 6. But I thought this week, throughout this week, the thought kept coming to my mind about the bright hope that I have. About the bright hope that we have as the people of God. I couldn't seem to get that off of my mind this week. I spent time in my thoughts thinking about what is just over the horizon for those of us who are saved. I mean, we're going to experience some wonderful things here very soon. And we're going to soon be living in a whole different realm than what we're living in now. We are today, all of us, whether you think about this very much in your life or whether you don't, the fact is that we all today are an eternal bound people. And our journey through time, I promise you, is going to go very swiftly. And so we are soon facing a great change. All of us that are here today, whether you are prepared for it or not, we're all soon facing a great change. We're going to leave time and we're going to go into eternity and we're going to live in a different realm than what we are living in now. But make no mistake, we will all continue on. We will all exist because God, when He created us, He created an eternal bound being when He created man. And today, I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that I'm going to live on and live on and live on forever and forever and forever. And so I've been thinking this week and anticipating and thinking about things that lie ahead, things that I have great expectation of. I haven't been able to get the service off of my mind that we had last week. I haven't been able to stop thinking about the testimonies that I heard last week about the great hope, about the great expectation and anticipation of seeing the Lord Jesus one day face to face. You know, that's for us as God's people, that's the greatest thing that we have to look forward to. That we will soon see our Lord face to face. That we'll soon be in a place where we can view His lovely face and be in His presence and worship Him better than we worship Him here. So we have great hope. But there's a great basis for that hope. Because you know what? I don't have that hope in myself. There's a great reason that I can speak to you today about the hope that I have. And in these verses here where I read from Hebrews chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said in verse 18, if it was Paul that wrote it, he said in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And I want you to think with me for just a moment here about the two immutable things. The writer here is talking about two things. When he's talking about two immutable things, he's talking about two things that cannot be changed or that cannot be altered. I mean, you've heard the statement made when somebody is talking about something and the possibility of changing it. And somebody says, well, you know, we can do that. It's not written in stone. Well, these things are. They're written in something greater than stone. They're written with blood, and they can't be changed. So we're talking about two unchangeable things here. And these two things, the apostle here wrote and said that these two things give us hope. And they give us hope that is as an anchor of the soul. And so, what are these things? I want to speak to you for a little while about these things. And we find in verse 13 that God made a promise. He made a promise. It said, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, and here was his promise to Abraham. Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Now, in verse 16, we're told that when men swear, they swear by the greater. When they make an oath, they make it before God. They make it by someone, they swear by someone greater than what they are, rather than swearing by someone that is equal with them, or maybe perhaps they think even lesser than them. They swear this oath by someone greater than them, and that being God Himself. That's what men do. And when they swear the oath, the Bible tells us here that to them it is an end of all strife. All the discussion, everything that's been settled in the making of this covenant or this setting forth of this oath, when the oath is confirmed, it brings an end to all of that work and to all of that strife. But the Bible tells us here that because God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God made promise to Abraham and swore by himself. God, you know, to me, these are beautiful verses of Scripture. And they give us such confidence in what we have as the people of God. God, I love this 17th verse, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. So we're talking about God having made a promise, and having made a promise to Abraham that he would greatly bless him. You know, Abraham, listen, if you study the Scriptures and you want to really study God's salvation, you're going to have to bring Abraham into the picture. Abraham didn't purchase our salvation, but he was sure an important person in God's scheme of things. The Bible says, "They that are blessed of faith, they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And God made this promise to Abraham that in him, that he would bless him, and in multiplying, he would multiply him. And God blessed, God made a promise to Abraham. He said that in him shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He made a promise that seed would come. And he said, not seeds as of many, but of one seed. And this is Christ. God made great promises through Abraham. And God confirmed, and he swore by himself, who there is no greater. He confirmed those things by an oath. Now, I realize that there are differing opinions as to what was really being said here. But in my estimation, and the way I view this, those are the things that are unchangeable and immutable that God made promise and God swore an oath to keep it. The promise and the oath are that which are unchangeable or immutable. Why? Well, God can't lie. God cannot lie. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus. In hope of eternal life, he said in the opening of the epistle to Titus, Paul wrote and said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised to you and I a way of salvation. And he promised that it would be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and he kept All the law. I mean, there was not one thing that he did not keep. He fulfilled every aspect of the law when he came. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets." He didn't come for that purpose. I think sometimes that may be what people get in mind. But Jesus did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. He said, "I come not to destroy, but to fulfill." And I promise you that everything that was spoken in prophecy for the thousands of years before he came, and everything that was written in the law, I promise you that when Jesus was here, he fulfilled every bit of it. He didn't leave one jot or one tittle left undone. You know what? Jesus fulfilled the law to the extent that when he died on the cross, that veil in the temple, it just tore in two. That was how much he fulfilled the law. The veil in the temple was just rent in twain from top to bottom, and that gave great testimony that Jesus was the one that would be the suitable sacrifice to abolish all of the things written in the law. He came and he fulfilled it. My hope today rests on nothing less than what Jesus Christ did. We sing that in a song about our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I stand today firm, with my feet firm on that foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been saved today, your feet are on a rock. You've been set on a rock. If you've been saved today, you're standing on the rock of ages. You're standing on the rock that cannot be moved. You know, the devil may try to confuse you and he may try to cloud the issue, but I'm telling you today, if you've been saved, friends, you are safe and secure in the Lord. You have a hope today that's sure and steadfast. And it is a hope that is as an anchor of the soul. You know, I go out in my little old boat sometimes, and I don't think my anchors are heavy enough. That's the only thing I've been able to determine, because I put my anchors out on the front and the back and float around. And they must not be heavy enough. They must not be holding. And so when I anchor it down, you know, if there's enough wind, or if the water maybe has an undercurrent or something, my boat moves around and it won't stay where it's supposed to be. But friends, listen, we have hope that the Bible says that those of us who are saved, we have hope that anchors the soul. It is an anchor of the soul, and it's sure and it's steadfast. And and that anchor holds. And listen, when the storms begin to blow and the winds begin to come and the rain begins to fall and the things of life begin to beset us and the temptations that are around us, come upon us, and we see all of these things, if we will just cling to the Lord, He has us anchored, friends, and we cannot be moved. You believe that? I hope that you do. I hope that you believe that today, because we have an anchor of the soul that is sure and is steadfast. I've got a lot of things today that I am anticipating. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Paul wrote to the Corinthians this great exposition on love. And he talked about the gift of prophecy. And he talked about the gift of tongues. And he talked about those early spiritual gifts that existed in the early church in the apostolic age. He spoke about the time that those things would cease. And friends, I'm convinced that they've ceased. The church does not have those gifts among us today. We don't have the gift of tongues. Those things were for a time, and they served their purpose, and they passed away with the apostolic age. And Paul teaches us that very plainly in those writings. He talks about the time that prophecies will vanish, that tongues will cease. And in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians there, he assures us that when those things have ceased, that there's going to be three things that are going to abide. And that's going to be love, faith, and hope. Paul said, and there abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest are these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. Now, you know, oftentimes we read those scriptures and we just think about the supremacy of love, and that's all that is said about it. I know I've done that myself. You read those verses and perhaps preach on those verses, and all that we focus on is the supremacy of love. Well, love is supreme over the faith and the hope, but Paul never said that faith and hope wasn't good. They're good. They're just not as good as love, but they're good. The bright hope of heaven is a wonderful thing to me. A lot of things that I think about. I wonder what it'll really be like. You ever think about that? I bet you do. I'm confident that you do. To wonder what it'll really be like to be able to cross over there, to cross over that divide, cross over into heaven, to leave time and cross into eternity. There's a lot there that I want to see. I thought about this last night, and the reason that I used the title that I did is I'm a fan of watching. I like to watch the Olympic contest. I like to watch the games. I like to watch the gymnasts and the swimmers and others compete in their competition. But last night, I watched a little bit of that, and my heart was made sad by it. When I listened to them interview this young athlete, and he talked about after he had won the gold medal, and he talked about how that was just the greatest thing of his life. How that he had anticipated this, you know, and thought about it ever since he was a youngster, and that this was just the height of his expectation and the greatest thing of life. And I mean, he was just smiling and happy, and his family was happy and all this. And my heart became sad. I've got something better than that. I've been given something better than that. I'm glad that my hope and my expectation of things goes beyond this world. I'm thankful that they supersede the things of this life, because the Bible tells me that if in this life only we had hope in Christ, that we would be of all men most miserable. But I'm thankful that, as Paul wrote here, I'm thankful today that I have a hope, that I have an expectation, that I have an anticipation of that that enters into the veil there. You know what he was talking about there? When he said, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In verse 19, he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The forerunner did that. It was the forerunner that entered into that within the veil for us. Where did Jesus go to offer that blood? Where was it that he went to make that sacrifice for you and I? When he shed his blood there at Calvary, where did he take it? I promise you, he didn't take it back to the physical tabernacle. He didn't take it back to the tabernacle that was built there in the days of Moses, but he appeared in heaven itself, in the presence of God, in the true tabernacles, in the true Holy of Holies. Jesus appeared there in heaven for us and offered his blood before God. And those of us that have been saved, we're anchored in the Lord, and we have hope in that which entereth into the veil. We've got hope in heaven. Yes, Brother Strode. Yes, I'm going too. I'm going. The surest thing in my life is what God has given me. I may not be living here tomorrow. I may not be living on planet Earth tomorrow. But I tell you what, I'll be living. If I'm dead in the body tomorrow, my soul won't be dead. If my body is, if God calls my spirit out of my body today, and if he's finished with me, I'm going to heaven to be with God. Don't you want to go? I think about, as we heard last week, I think about seeing Jesus. I think about that. I can think about it. Not only can I think about it, I can expect it. And I can anticipate it because I've got hope. I've got that within my soul that allows me to do that. Allows me to think of the bright hope of the glory world and Jesus sitting on his throne, and to have the assurance and the knowledge in my soul that I'll get to view that and witness that and be there in his presence. I think about people. I think about people that have gone on. And I have, there's a lot of people that have been in my life that have already gone on. And the older I get, the more I seem to think about seeing them again. I was thinking just the other day. I was thinking about my earthly father. I was thinking about how that it's been 22 years since I've seen him. And then I was thinking about the fact that I will see him again. I'll see him again. We're going to have those of us that are safer, and we got a reunion coming. Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that give you anticipation and expectation that those that you have loved, thank God for the people that I've loved in this life that were saved, that when they died and left this world, they left me a hope. They left me something that I could expect because they had this great testimony of knowing the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And all I have to do is just wait for a little while, and then I'll get to go and see them again. I want to read these verses from Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. Paul said, we're saved by hope. Now, he didn't mean as a condition of salvation. He said, we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If you can see it, you're no longer expecting it to be something that you're going to see. You know, our faith will end in sight one of these days. I believe the Lord's real, don't you? I mean, I believe there's a real heaven. I don't just believe it, I'm convinced of it. There's a real heaven. There's a real land out there called heaven. There's a real Jesus that came and died for my sins, and he really is sitting there right now, and there really are people that have already been gone, that have already left this world and gone to heaven. They really are there, and they really are happy. and they really don't want to leave. They're glad to be where they're at. And one of these days, we're going to be glad. We're going to be glad, Sister Treva, in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be glad. The 10th proverb, verse 28 says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Hope. When you are anticipating these things, when you're thinking perhaps the way the Apostle Paul was thinking when he wrote there in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and he said, "For we know that if this earthly tabernacle of our house were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." When you're thinking that way, when your soul is motivating you to think that way, you know what's happening? It's hope that's taking place. Hope that's bubbling up in your soul. Hope. I'll tell you what, friends, hope is very important to the Christian life. The great expectation and anticipation of great pleasure, the great confidence that we have in the Lord of what lies just ahead. Not getting any younger, are we, Brother Jackson? Heard today that we had a lot of birthdays among us this week. You know what? Every one of them that had a birthday got a year older. They didn't get younger. And we're not getting any younger. We're not traveling towards the sunrise of this life. We're traveling towards the sunset. But what's the old song? Sunset is coming, but the sunrise I see. The hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, it anchors my soul surely and steadfastly. It anchors my soul. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad I've got a friend in Jesus while I live in this world. You know what? I'm having a real good time in the Lord Jesus. I'm having a wonderful time in the Lord. The Lord has made me safe. He has made me secure. He has given to me eternal life. But you know, as I go through the life, as I go through this life, the Lord has also made me very happy. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm satisfied in the Lord. Things of this life have disappointed me. There's been people in this world that have disappointed me. I'm sure I've been a disappointment to people, but I'm not disappointed in the Lord. I've never been disappointed in the Lord. In the Lord, I'm content. In the Lord, I'm happy. In the Lord, I'm going home one day, and I'm going to shout His praises forever and forever because of the Lord. Not because of me, but because of the Lord. I've got hope that's built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. I've got hope. I can go through this life. I've got a friend here. I've got a friend on the other side. I can go through this life and I can walk and talk with him, and he does talk to me. And those of you that are saved, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord speaks to us from time to time. But one day it'll all end in sight of him on his throne. And there we'll be happy and content with him forever and forever, going for the gold. No doubt it's a wonderful, from an earthly standpoint, no doubt it is a wonderful feeling for those athletes to win that medal. But you know what? The gold I'm interested in won't be a medal hanging around my neck. The gold that I'm interested in, I'm going to walk on it. The gold I'm interested in is pavement. And I just wanted to read a verse about it before I finish today. Revelation 21:21, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Friends, let me tell you something. If you're here today, and it doesn't have to be a medal, a gold medal, a silver medal. If you're here today, if you're interested in anything more than you're interested in the things of the Lord, I'm telling you, you're missing out. You're missing out. I've got greater joy in my heart. You could win 100 gold medals and never be as happy as I am. Those who have been saved, those of us who know the Lord, we understand what it really means to be happy. Because true happiness comes from the Lord. It comes from knowing Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And today I've got hope. I've got something that allows me to dream and allows me to look forward and allows me to expect what's waiting just over the hill. Thankful for that today. Appreciate your attention today. I thank you all for being here this morning. I want you to remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Come back and hear Brother Damon bring the message. Pray for him. Come and support him. May God bless you. Let's stand and just have a verse of a song together. And
/390 at the bottom of the page, number 390. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other sun is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, my greatest prayer for you is that you will be. I'm not praying for you to become a millionaire. I'm not praying for you to become and have great success in life. I'm praying for you to be saved, to come to know the Lord, because I'm going to have my riches. Everybody that knows the Lord will have our riches. God has a land, we're His heirs, and He has a land prepared for us that's beyond anything in this world. But you need to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. So may God help you is my prayer.